Stay tuned for the Man of God shows with Mr. Man.
I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. I will counsel you and watch over you.
Greetings, brethren. This is the Man of God shows. This is segment number 5. By watching TV or listening to the radio and reading newspapers and magazines, we should be able to recognize the pervasive hand of Satan at work in the world around us. Satan has always had his hand in history from the beginning, when he deceived Eve in the Garden of Eden. There in the garden, Satan's first operative chosen to advance his objectives in this world was the serpent. The serpent was more beautiful and subtle than all other creatures, and an obvious choice for Satan to use to inhabit as a subverting element to get to Eve. We know this worked well. She was deceived, partook of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and herself became an operative to subvert Adam. God had given Adam an image and likeness to himself, and a work to perform in the midst of all God had created with him. God had given Adam his wife Eve as a helper to meet the responsibilities God had given him to tend and take care of the garden. Adam was created as God's helper, and Eve was created as Adam's helper. God created this first man, Adam, for someone he could keep company with and therefore have fellowship with in an intimate spiritual companionship. God created Eve from Adam as flesh of his flesh and bone of his bones to physical company with and therefore have fellowship with in intimate physical companionship. God walked with Adam in the garden and had fellowship with him before Adam fell from his own steadfastness and sinned by hearkening unto the voice of his wife. The only voice Adam was commanded to hearken to was God's voice, which can easily be recognized as God's word or the word of God. Eve was commanded to hearken to no other voice than Adam's voice. Adam, before sinning and hearkening to the voice of Eve, and like her also partaking of the forbidden fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, was pure and perfect in all his ways before God, without sin and spotless. Adam then only spoke to Eve the word of God exactly as God had spoken with his voice to him. Adam spoke to Eve as the oracle of God, as he was moved upon to do so by the Holy Spirit of God. Before the fall of Adam, Adam loved the Lord his God with all his mind and all his soul, all his heart, and all his strength. As long as Adam walked in the light of God and had daily fellowship with him there, was not found there in Adam variance nor shadow of turning. God was his Father in heaven, and Adam was in his presence continuously. When Eve was in Adam's presence, while he was yet pure and undefiled, Eve was in God's presence. Eve served this God-ordained order. Eve severed this God-ordained order by hearkening unto the voice of Satan, to whom the serpent had first hearkened. God had given Adam charge over all the creatures he had made, and made Adam lord over them, to be subject to him in all things. His voice to them was as the voice of God to them, Therefore the serpent first rebelled against God by not only hearkening to God's voice through Adam and stopping to do so, thereby rejecting the word of God as the only authority to obey. Satan convinced the serpent in the garden to hearken to his voice instead of God's voice through Adam, and therefore become his operative, or the first change agent introduced into the world. There was now afoot in the world a demonic operation of deception. To usurp the authority of God's word or God's voice and disrupt and change his order, to be replaced with first chaos, from which a new world order would be configured and enhanced. Satan's next step in the plan was to use this first agent, the serpent, as his voice to subtly entice Eve to heed her own understanding apart from the word of God spoken to her as God's voice through her husband Adam. Satan convinced her to depart from the faith in God's word once delivered to her through Adam by appealing to her senses first, and secondly by appealing to her own desire for independence and recognition as a co-equal with Adam. The same delusion Lucifer held concerning his position to God and relationship with God. Eve had made a choice at some point to withdraw herself from Adam by being drawn away of her own lust, desires. Drawn to the location of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil where and when Adam wasn't present. What followed because of this was that she was enticed. The act of Eve withdrawing herself from Adam with the full intent to go to the location of the forbidden tree was a flirtation with unforeseen danger brought on by curiosity. She was not led there by Adam, but by her own sensibility. Just as anyone flirting with danger convinces themselves they can be close enough, yet maintain a reasonable safe distance from serious damage and harm, so was Eve in this instance. The devil knew that once she was in close enough proximity to hear the foreign voice speaking to her through the serpent, that she was in range for deception. Had Adam been there, the whole matter would have been disrupted and not worked. Since she was present without Adam, the devil saw this as a clear indication she was already out of order and acting in an independent manner. Satan's task was then to implant a seed of discord in her mind, in direct opposition to God's voice spoken to her through her husband Adam. When Eve began to listen to the voice of the serpent and ponder with interest and curiosity those things she was now being told, sin conceived in her. In only a short while, her act of reaching out and taking hold of the forbidden fruit brought forth sin, and the consequence God had warned her of immediately followed. It brought forth death. Eve had now been turned into Satan's second agent of change in this operation, and she was led by his spirit guiding her, or his spirit guide, to her husband Adam to present him with the word of Satan, while herself believing it to be a fuller revelation of the word of God to them both. Eve had independently taken a chance based upon her own curiosity and intuition to discover the hidden occult meaning behind the word of God spoken to her by Adam concerning the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. By consequence, the eyes of her carnal understanding had been enlightened, open, which she perceived in her now delusional state to be a euphoric encounter with the mystery of godliness, or that which makes a person godlike. Eve believed she had uncovered a way to be intimate with God beyond that she had previously experienced through her relationship to God, via her relationship to Him through her covering, which was Adam. In effect, Eve had uncovered herself and believed this would not only independently improve her fellowship with God without her husband as a mediator between herself and God, but this new order of things opened to her through the knowledge to be obtained from good and evil what someone would somehow conceive as improvement on her fellowship with Adam and Adam's fellowship with God further on, as well as her relationship to and fellowship with Adam, all on a more level playing field. Eve sought out Adam to present to him her discovery with unbridled exuberance and excitement, to share with him and have him share with her all the future exhilaration of yet untold passions and revelations. Adam at this point had every opportunity to resist the devil and he would flee from him, but instead he became the third agent of change in this world, and the final barrier to Satan's plan was therefore overcome. In the Garden of Eden, there was now no creature more subtle and beautiful to look upon than Eve. In the same way that Eve had surmised the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was comely to look upon and to be desired, so Adam at this moment of choice made the self-same decision about Eve. He hearkened to her voice out of a sense of accommodation to her and his own desire for physical companionship. Had Adam chose instead to remain faithful to God and his voice, recognizing it was better to be in accord with God and discordant with his wife, then the chain would have been broken and sin and death would not have entered the whole world by this one man. The kingdom of God would have remained intact through his obedience in maintaining the life, the way, the truth which God had established, and his order would not have been subjected to vanity and chaos through the hidden occult works of darkness by Satan. Now all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The foundation for this, which was laid in the Garden of Eden by Adam hearkening unto the voice of his wife, which was in partaking from her hand of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, this is that upon which everything wrong with this world has been built upon to this day. Had Adam remained steadfast in his obedience to God, none of this would have happened. It was through this one man that sin entered into the world, and by this one man all have died. It did not come through or by one woman. Though she was the change agent used by Satan to compel his disobedience to God's voice by hearkening to her voice, yet God, by his mercy, sent into the world the second Adam. We Christians know the second Adam as Jesus the Christ. He sent him to restore all things to himself through the blood of a new covenant, and whosoever puts their trust in him. Jesus the Christ, the only begotten Son of God, is the Word and the voice of God to all who believe and the minister of reconciliation and restoration back to his order of life, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost through him. Upon this rock of our salvation, upon this true and everlasting foundation, we assembled living stones of God's building, the church, a spiritual temple where born-again Christians are established, rooted, and grounded, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. Through this one man, Jesus Christ, life everlasting entered back into the world just as it was before the fall of Adam in the Garden of Eden. By Jesus' death on the cross to bear the penalty of death for sin in our place, yet he being entirely without sin, fellowship with the Heavenly Father has been restored to Christians obeying his voice by the power, the authority of his resurrection. We have been delivered by him from the unfruitful works of darkness, and through him and by his blood and our testimony, loving not our lives unto death, we overcome the world. The world and its wickedness is all around us, daily confronting us with its agents of change, empowered by the God of this world, Satan, to continue implementing the plan he first launched so long ago in the Garden of Eden. We see evidence everywhere that we are living in that period of history the Bible calls the end time, when Satan makes his final push to complete his work of darkness, to enslave all mankind to eternal separation from God through a global system of a new world order based upon the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Much of what goes on around us in this world daily is every bit as subtle and beautiful as the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the serpent then and now that sells it to the unaware and unsuspecting. The face of evil is often veiled behind a cleverly crafted mask of high ideals and good intentions. We need to hear God's word and remain cautiously attentive to God's voice at every turn in order to know and discern the fruit and outcome of all those presentations made to us that on their face appear good and even able to make one wise, but lead to death and destruction. With the Lord's guidance and Holy Spirit, I hope these man of God shows minister to you and bless you in such a way to expose these deceptions in the world and to give you the sincere gravity of heart that these times that we're in demand of every Christian. The end of this present age we find ourselves in has been defined by many in the world as the Information Age, the Romantic period, the Renaissance, Age of Enlightenment, or Age of Reason, all built upon the classical period, has led to this last and present installment of the Information Age. It is this era in human history that Satan has been working up to for the great finale, the Age of Knowledge, or the Information Age. This, the great finale. Everyone is craving access to data and information, content and context on everything under the sun and the distant reaches of the universe, space and time, with anything in between. It is the era of information, or what can be called knowledge overload. It all goes back to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the Garden of Eden. That is how the Hellenistic and hedonistic world interprets this forbidden tree. With amoral consequences and therefore neutral to the idea of literal good and evil. Satan, through the serpent, convinced Eve that the tree was desirable because it could make one wise. This is the underlying element of the world's philosophy, that the acquisition and amassing of knowledge, information, essentially ends with wisdom. The word philosophy means love of knowledge. The forbidden tree in the Garden of Eden represented plainly the consequences of loving knowledge, but having neither sound understanding or wisdom to go with it. Knowledge without understanding and wisdom amounts to only one outcome, and that outcome is good information in ideas or ideals leading to nothing other than an evil end. The world is hell-bent on achieving whatever they can based solely upon the knowledge they can accumulate without the understanding or wisdom only available from God to properly discern the deadly consequences of those ideas, ideals, and aspirations awaiting them at the end of the road. They profess themselves to be wise and have become fools. Satan has managed in history to separate mankind and his desire for knowledge from the voice of God, which is his word filled with God's knowledge, God's understanding, God's wisdom, which cannot be acquired nor received apart from a relationship and fellowship with the Father and the Son. Satan's principal objectives have been many over the course of history, and one of these principal operations is to achieve a large part of these objectives and get mankind to pursue knowledge at any cost. Mankind has developed an undergirding practice of willfully holding at bay the eventualities of pursuing knowledge and its implementation with an attitude of, we'll deal with the consequences if they are detrimental and injurious at the latest possible moment. Usually the motivation behind this entire process of see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil about cultural, technological, sociological, and governmental innovations, etc., etc., until there's no other choice but face the music, is simply based in old-fashioned greed. When it comes right down to the bottom line, it's usually money and all the things it represents as personal status in society. The love of money is the root of all evil. And across the board, honest observation shows us this is behind the world's idea for progress. The devil convinced Eve by using the serpent to speak enticingly to her that God did not really say, the day that you eat thereof you shall surely die. But the real consequences of her action was at best iffy. Worth foregoing the risk inherent for the possibility of being made wise. That's what Eve thought. For thousands of years since that fatal moment in the Garden of Eden, people have judged the wealthiest among them as the wisest among them. The wealthiest citizens are usually the power brokers and ruler makers that everyone else must in some fashion depend upon for their own well-being. They are those envied and emulated by the masses. The perception of them exists, as Solomon put it, money answers all things necessary to life and happiness on earth. The more wealthy a person becomes, the more happy they must be, and therefore obviously wiser than the rest of us. There are numerous scriptures in the Bible that deal with this issue of mankind's common delusion concerning wealth and power. I'll leave it up to you to look those up. The Lord God protected Adam and Eve from this knowledge of the consequences of all the choices and decisions mankind could make for themselves in every conceivable issue that could present itself outside the paradise he had placed them in, which included the fact that, in their perfect state, ignorance is bliss. Every parent has told their child or children, don't do this or don't do that, based on their own experiences of the consequences that will follow. It's a grievous thing to watch children ignore that advice and do those things they were warned not to do, seeing them bear the predetermined consequences. God warned Adam, who in turn warned Eve, not on the basis of some experience he had, but on the basis of his limitless pure wisdom and understanding and knowledge, combined on any and all subject matter which could be experienced and pursued by mankind, doing that which was right in their own eyes. On the other hand, Satan convinced Eve that by eating the forbidden fruit, she would obtain inexhaustible knowledge on every conceivable matter and issue a human being could be confronted with, and by proxy obtain wisdom to make the best of all possible choices. By the sheer weight of information, making one able to weigh in the balance the pros and the cons, arriving at beneficial, successful results. Hence, good versus evil, or which has the most in the balance, good or evil. If you could balance them out, history's philosophers have said that's the perfect situation. History and the present time have shown us all how wrong this wrong can be. It is very clear that mankind has really learned nothing of the truth of this played out over and over again throughout history, and are therefore doomed to repeat it right to the very end. God indeed had protected his children, Adam and Eve, as well as their future generations of children, from all the ugliness of just what their future could become outside of obedience and submission to him. The entire secret of what disobedience and willful independence from his lordship over them was locked up in one solitary place called the Tree of the Knowledge of Good and Evil. Just as long as this was left alone, as God commanded it to be, all those ugly things mankind has faced ever since would have remained covered and hidden from view, especially death. God knew it, and Satan knew it. Satan became aware of it because he was the first to subject himself to vanity through all his self-induced I wills, and thusly putting himself outside God's will in preference of his own. Eve's eyes were certainly open at her moment of disobedience to everything, although at that time she wasn't any more aware of what that meant than a person about to become a heroin addict and the eventual death from it. That was Eve's first initial rush of individual freedom, to be followed by all the harrowing experiences and losses leading to total destruction. All things are naked and open before the eyes of God, because he always sees everything as it truly is. God looked and saw everything he had created that it was good, including Adam and Eve's nakedness, without any shame. The destructive implications nakedness could represent to the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh were unapparent to them and hidden from them because they were yet without sin, not yet partaking of the forbidden tree. After they had disobeyed and ate of the tree, they knew that they were naked and ashamed, and immediately tried to find a way to recover the innocence they'd lost that was replaced with guiltiness. They sewed together fig leaves and covered themselves. Ever since that first consciousness of guilt or a guilty conscience, mankind has made every attempt to reclose their eyes to those things they don't want to believe are exposed about them and their choices in opposition to God and His will, while at the same time they try to keep their eyes open to those things they believe they want exposed, but without the guilt. Adam and Eve's awareness of their own nakedness and the feelings of shame they had because of it was a mere exposé in miniature of the fact that because of their disobedience and partaking of the forbidden fruit, everything about everything was exposed, and they, as well as all of us thereafter, would be exposed to everything. Satan wanted the earth and mankind subject to vanity and complete failure, based on total exposure to the knowledge of good and evil. He knew that man could not and would not make good choices apart from submitting to God. It would lead to destruction and death. This is what Satan wants to remain hidden, and seeks to fill the world with operatives in his demonic deceptions to in any way thwart God's will to recover man and woman with the blood of Jesus Christ. Satan wants to give them robes of filthiness, while God wants to give those recovered by him robes of his righteousness and restore innocence lost. There has been a long march through history to develop a complete contradiction to this restoration and reconciliation, to create a world totally unreceptive to and not reliant upon God and His wisdom. God doesn't want Christians thinking ignorance is bliss when it comes to the enemy's devices. Those devices are couched in operations of demonic deception everywhere. God wants them exposed. I hope you've enjoyed this. I know that you'll have to rehearse some of it again, play it over. But this has been Mr. Man sharing with you on the Man of God shows. And as I sign off, I'm saying again, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice.
The beginning of wisdom.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge of the Holy One. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord, the beginning of wisdom and knowledge of the Lord.